Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we have in here three times the expression in the Hebrew, hallelujah. And really, it's bracketed. It's there being repeated at the end as well as the bookends of it. And here we come to the very end of this latest 3.5 year cycle of meditating upon the Psalms. Now, I mentioned last week when we were in Psalm 149 and we were reading there, let them praise his name with the dance, let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and harp. I said, we'll deal with that next week. So this is the next week. We'll get to it in just a minute. Let's start out by saying that once again, we are praising the covenant God, the gracious God. He is the one who has revealed himself to be the Savior from sin and the Savior of sinners. He is the one who has shown this from back when Adam and Eve first fell. And he told them of a coming Redeemer, and he sealed it with the sacrament of a sacrificed animal, covering them with its skin. A promise of the coming Savior and a picture of the coming Savior. He continued to make things slowly more and more clear through Noah, through Abraham, through Moses, through David, until we come to the fullest and the final revelation of things through Jesus Christ. All along, there were more and more of these prophecies that made things clear. There were more and more of the pictures given as well. So we have the picture of the rainbow given through Noah. We have the picture of circumcision, which we see in Romans 4:11, was a sign and seal of faith. And it was given to little babies like Isaac and to children like Ishmael was. We see even more of this with the time of Moses, where as God had saved and delivered his people, he then set forth very clearly a summary of his moral law, showing how now that they are delivered, they were to live for their Savior, and all kinds of new ceremonies and things that came along with, they were more and more clear pictures of Jesus Christ, with the priests and the tabernacle and all the sacrifices that were given in great detail. All these things were there to point more and more, clearer and clearer, to Jesus Christ. And then with David, there is the revelation, of course, in 2 Samuel 7, that this one will be the king of his people, the king of all things. And Jesus would be the one to maintain the house of David, that is, the lineage of David, when David wanted to build a temple. God said, nope, your son will, but let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to build you a house. And he had all kinds of promises for David and for the church of Jesus Christ. David began under God's moving to be preparing things for the temple, preparing things for Solomon. And in a continuation of revelation there, David not only became what we read in the book of Psalms, the sweet singer of Israel, but we see that he was given directions on musical instruments. Any addition, any new stuff for worship for the people of God must come from God himself. We are to worship him as he directs, not as we feel, not as we think, not taking away, not adding to it. There had never been instrumental music in any of the worship that we see in the times of Adam and Eve, or of Abraham, or of Noah. Really, there hadn't been from Moses either. Nothing accompanying the singing. But at the temple it was, by God's command, right around the time of the sacrifices. Because all of these things were pointing to Jesus Christ. They were pictures of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus has come. We have the reality. We don't hold on to the pictures anymore. There was never any instrumental music in the synagogues because that's not where the sacrifices were. That's where the teaching was, but not the sacrifices. As the sacrifices and the temple and the priesthood and the work of the Levites and the holidays, all those things are gone for the New Testament Church of Christ because we have the reality now. So are the instruments. Whenever we think of the sacrifices, whenever we think of the priests, whenever we think of the temple and all, we ought to be thinking of and rejoicing in the New Testament realities. In fact, the people of old, believers of old, did just that too. They knew they weren't saved by the sacrifices. They were saved by the blood of the one who would come and would redeem his people at the price of his own blood. They knew that the work of the priests in and of themselves didn't save them. It was the great priest whom God would send, who is Jesus. So what did the temple point to? Well, to the New Testament church, to all believers really, even in the Old Testament. They had this physical picture of the people of God, the living stones built upon and lined up with the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, with Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. And in the temple, what did the sacrifices point to? What did the priests point to? What did the holy days point to? To Jesus' person and work. And what about the musical instruments? The trumpet, the lute, the harp, the timbrel and dance, the stringed instruments and flutes, the loud cymbals, the loud and clashing cymbals. They all pointed to something that Old Testament saints did not have but looked forward to. That Old Testament saints did not have but every one of you believers does. The Holy Spirit worked on believers back then. They were saved by sovereign grace, saved by their trust, by faith alone, by the grace of God alone, in the coming Jesus alone. And that faith was worked in them, was placed in them by the Holy Spirit, just like with us. As we see, and it's true for the New Testament church and Old Testament believers, that it is God who is at work within you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure, in Philippians 2:13. Not only were they worked on, but sometimes worked through. In fact, even unbelievers, even animals were worked through by the Holy Spirit. Think, for example, of Balaam's donkey. Think of Balaam himself. Think of Saul, not a believer, but the Spirit worked through him. But, in much better examples, think of the prophets. Think of many of God's people. God's Spirit worked through them. So, what's the difference? The Spirit himself did not indwell believers until the coming of Pentecost. There wasn't the joy of believing. There was some. David in Psalm 51 says, "Take not the joy of salvation from me." But the abiding joy that the believer in these days has, and the abiding presence within him of the Holy Spirit, Old Testament believers did not have that gift. They had the emotional pull of the instrumental music. But now you see, we don't merely look forward to the one who will come. We have him. So in him we have as Peter talks about in Pentecost, the remission of sin. Secondly, we don't have a picture anymore of the indwelling Holy Spirit as reality. So, this is why when we talk about, we should only sing the psalms, and people come back at us, what about Psalm 150? How can you do without instruments then? This is why. Because this is a picture, we have the reality. And we think of the reality, and we give thanks for not only the remission of sin, but the gift of the Holy Spirit that Peter spoke of on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Now there's a lot more here, believe it or not. You can think about this at another time, and maybe in 3.5 years I'll try to remember to think about this. But we praise him, and he should be praised all over, not merely within and among his people at the sanctuary, but everywhere, on earth and in heaven. We not only do that, but we praise him for what he does and what he is like, there in verse 2. And who should be praising him? Well, everybody, down in verse 6. No wonder. We finish up the entire book of Psalms, made up of 5 different books internally, with 3 different times, just like the holy seraphim in the temple. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth is filled with his glory. Isaiah saw that. We 3 times say, Hallelujah. Well, let's sing to his praise from this, and we're going to use the kids' favorite, Psalm 150b.